Well, if they figured out how to break into that bathroom down on Commercial Basin with a knife.
They figured it out?
Not the code. Now they're just sticking stuff in there between the crack to hit the... Tiffany Berg just called me. She's like, this guy just broke into your bathroom with a knife.
So back to the concrete wall idea.
No. He's talking about the outside, aren't you, Travis?
Yeah, the outside.
Yeah.
Nothing hard to do.
No, it's just another piece of metal I'm going to have to put on. Tighten it up.
All right, Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you're ready.
Okay, we'll call this meeting to order. This is a budget hearing and regular commission meeting Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. We begin with the tentative agendas for the budget hearing for fiscal year 23-24.
Call the order.
Larry?
Here.
Sharon?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Richard?
Here.
Ken is absent.
Okay, I see no public comments. Do you have any public comments you're aware of, Danielle?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay, that brings us to action item A, resolution 2023-5, adopting the 2023-2024 fiscal year budget, making appropriations and levying and categorizing the tax.
Yep. All right, budget hasn't changed since the last budget meeting we had. Is there any questions? Changes, anything at all?
No.
Well, I am not going to read through this entire thing again, so.
I think for the record, Bill, we should note that the total adopted budget for this year is $12,753,609, which is a lot.
Yep. It's about, well, with our supplemental budget, it'll be about $6 million more than what we had last year and $7 million more than what we had the year before that. So a lot of projects, a lot of things coming up.
But also for the record, people shouldn't get used to that because this is like a one-off. Hopefully a one-off.
I don't think our port budget has ever been this high.
No.
I think this is the highest it's ever been.
Okay. Comments? Questions?
No.
Okay.
And the motion for this is on the agenda page under action item. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep. So on the top page of your agenda, what you read is action item A. That A is
Resolution 2023-05, adopting the 2023-2024 fiscal year budget, making appropriations and leveling and categorizing the tax.
So, before we take action, let's make sure, what is the tax? Make sure we're clear on what the tax
point
is.
It's 13 cents.
Yeah.
0.1316
per thousand.
Per
thousand.
Okay.
Right. Right here, 0.1316.
Okay, so we have a motion. Second?
Second.
Motion is second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay. Good job.
Thank you.
Very good.
All right. Now we will adjourn from the budget hearing. You want to talk on the next? Adjourn from the budget hearing. We'll call the regular meeting to order. And we'll begin on the budget hearing. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't think we need to do another roll call.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. For any modifications, additions, or changes to this agenda?
No.
Yes, there is one for the Checo ductless blasting lease. These are some updated revisions from our legal. They're basically changing the word lease to agreement. I think that's almost all of it, isn't it?
There's some few other minor verbiage.
Yeah, all pretty minor.
Okay, so it's just the agenda stays the same.
The agenda stays the same. It'll just be action item A. There's an updated version of that agreement.
All right. Any other changes? All right. Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda as presented with the one modification. I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Hello? Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Danielle?
I don't know what happened there. I was scared by that chat.
Okay, that brings us to item three, the approval of meeting minutes.
Okay, I reviewed them. They seemed great.
I make a motion to approve the budget committee meeting Wednesday, May 10th, 2023, and regular commission meeting Wednesday, May 17th. 2023, as discussed, or written.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to comment. Public comment. We have a public comment from Dan Frazier.
My question, it's actually a question, is I've noticed that there's signs been hung at the top of the launch ramps, or the ramps in the basin over there in the commercial or basin two, whatever you want to call it, said that we can't transport commercial product off the dock. Is the public hoist going to be open 24/7 for that access then?
Yep.
So how
you have to call and schedule with me, let me know you want to use it, and I will make sure you have the button and everything you need to be able to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Any further public comment?
I did not receive any public comments.
Okay, that brings us to the management and financial reports.
Okay. RV park, the port received its final inspection for the RV park project. The park is running great, and we've received positive feedback from guests and the public. New picnic tables were added to the sites that needed to be replaced. The gangways and toy boxes have been put out on the beach for the summer, and staff added a new crosswalk area by the bathroom to make passage from the sidewalk to the bathroom safer.
Okay, Travis, I got a question. Just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Was that required by someone, or we just did it as support to?
I just did it as support to make that. It's
just
all, we always were looking at it in the cutouts that we have for people, for them to use the bathroom, they have to go down that and either walk behind cars or come onto to the guest side of it. So it's kind of just a centralized area to get people across there.
Sure. How was this quarter?
Yep. I got to finish reading the whole page. Beachfront RV park. Our occupancy is up. Finally, we're finally starting to go in the right direction. The marina dock walks and debris cleaning along the banks and in the water are ongoing. The water pump and the travel lift went out, and Pape was out to replace it. Revised quotes for sediment removal at the boatyard. The new crab pot storage was graded and covered and compacted by Tidewater. This new area will allow the port to prep the lower area for HMGP work along with controlling stormwater that affects our 1,200 feet permit. Boat launches are up. Our daily trailer storage and moorage is up. So definitely the recreational end of things. Summer is kicking off, and we're looking at a pretty good year. Telehandler work, we did seven different jobs. We hauled out 8 boats. Commercial receiving docks. Well, our total with the telehandler works at 30, and haul outs is at 18. We're finally, the haul outs are picking up. This month's looking pretty good for haul outs too. So it's good to see those numbers start climbing. Commercial receiving dock, the public hoist is operational, visually inspected and greased. 42,000 pounds were unloaded for the month of May on the public hoist. Hallmark Seafood is operational with nothing new to report. Borenstein Seafood is operational, but we have removed their hoist for the Aquina. The Aquina was supposed to be here the 10th or the 13th, but due to the wind and the weather, they haven't been able to confidently come down here yet. So the camel's out, their bumper's out. They should be here any day when the weather sits down and the wind stops enough. And the new Pacific Seafood Dock, we still need to look at adding new cleats for better tie-up locations on top of the pilot. Commercial retail building and air conditioner unit went out at the Bell and Whistle. Staff started to gather prices for a new one to be installed. The current unit is now out of date, and the Freon used in the unit is now outlawed for use. We have since got the quotes and put in a new ductless system over there, so they are back up and going. Maintenance crew completed 124 work orders. Landscaping throughout the entire port will be ongoing through the summer. Many staff members have begun cross-training in equipment and operations to better employee knowledge and skills. Office staff, the port offices run smoothly. The staff continue to work hard and complete their tasks on time and have maintained efficiency. All office staff keep a significant task completed list, which is attached for your view for later. Work orders are attached. The occupancy at the RV park was at 34%. And I can actually give you the numbers. So we're looking at, this is actually from a month ago. So July, we already have our park at 53%, and that was in June. I think it's near 100% already. So, and then daily boat launches, we had 287 launches, 20 daily moorages, and 11 trailer storages.
Wow.
That's about it. Any questions? Okay. Financial? You want to do it?
Sure. So for the month of May, our unrestricted cash and equivalents total $387,463. Our restricted cash and equivalents total $602,423. Our total cash with checking and savings is $1,101,441. We saw a overall revenue for all funds of $301,383. Our expenses were $303,516. We did see a small loss in the month of May for a total of $2,133. We are currently operating for the fiscal year at 58.3% total for all funds. We did discuss that a lot of that will be fixed in our supplemental budget. It is due to the FEMA money not coming in and not being spent. So with that supplemental budget, we just approved that number will reflect more accurately. Our general fund revenue is currently at 84.1%. Our total expenditures for all funds is at 48%, and our general fund expenditure at 78.6%. I've included balance sheets, profit loss, check register, automatic debit, check payments, and a vendor summary.
Okay, question?
Mm-hmm.
Safety, security, and environmental report.
Board staff discussed to be safe during tourist season, driving safely and weed-whacking. There were a few incidents that happened in the month of May, some minor things. Jay Salone had an angry potential client. Needles were found. 4 Aces security in the port came across 52 security issues for the month of May, mainly overnight parking tickets. We did have monthly inspections were completed for the stormwater pollution control plan. A mortgage holder was doing some engine maintenance and accidentally discharged their bilge into the marina. National Response Center was notified, which the Coast Guard contacted them. And then I also included the upcoming events for June and July, so you guys are aware of when those are happening, where they're located, and who's organizing them. Do you have any questions?
Go ahead, Larry.
Unhitched trailers, do we just tag them or do we tow them?
We tag them.
There's no follow up.
We tag them daily. So if it sits out there, once it gets tagged for three consecutive times, we will then impound whatever it is. We'll take it, we'll put it behind a secured storage. Usually by then, that's when people come, where's my stuff? Right. And as long as it's within reason, usually we'll give it back to them and we don't ever have a problem with that. If it sits in there a long time, then they have to pay our impound fee.
Panhandlers, do we trespass them or we just tell them to get out?
We tell them to get out with, you know, first, and then if it continues to persist, and we'll go to the next level. It's to kind of to always try and ask them and let them know what the rules are first.
What's your impression of the Fargo show?
It's going good. I think it's going good. There's a lot of people that's come. They've sold RVs. The staff's been great to work with, very polite. So I think given the time, the downtime the ports has right now, there's not a lot of people, you know, trying to, it would be more of a concern to me if we had a whole bunch of cars and people trying to go fishing and no parking spot. That would have been a concern to me. But the times that we discussed, we did look over what our events were and what were going to be happening to give them the time frame so it wasn't going to be busy.
I was also curious, how do you stay safe during the tourist season? I'd like to know that myself.
Wear your reflective gear, be cautious about people driving around. You know, there's just a lot more people out.
Keep your eyes open more.
When you're weed eating, make sure you're not weed eating out into the street and swinging rocks out in the street and hitting cars, RVs. You know, it's just a lot more people, so we needed to make sure that we kind of go over it every year. Remember, let's try not to keep the insurance claims down on covering cars with weed eaters.
Okay. Any other comments on the report? No. Want to make approval or a motion on accepting the report?
I make a motion to accept the management report and financial reports approval as we're discussed. I did. I pulled a Danielle there.
Second. Okay, Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay, that brings us to action items, the Chetco Dustwood Blasting Lease Agreement.
Okay, so we did give you guys a revised one that came in from our attorney. Very minimal changes. What they are after is to lease a 50 by 30 area in the back of our boatyard and the gravel and the dirt area to be able to do their dustless blasting. It will just be a ground lease of 10 cents per square foot. I think the lease is for a year. No.
Yeah,
1 year with 3 additional years to renew. It will be all based upon our best management practices that we've already kind of set out for them to be able to do outside blasting, I am going to have to work back and forth with them. It's going to depend on what they're doing. They might still have to do blasting over our haul-out area if it's going to be in-depth, big boat where there's a lot of water. If it's smaller, they did one not too long ago for Kenny. They did the inside of the boat. So they're just after a place to lease to be able to do some of this work.
So the advantage to us is this is just a ground lease. They're responsible for all the environmental issues and all that kind of stuff within compliance with our best management practices.
Yep.
So basically what we're doing is providing a place to provide a service to the public as
yeah.
they choose.
Okay. Yep.
And staff will make sure they're abiding by the management practices.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be very crucial because when they do a poor job, it'll directly reflect our stormwater field. So that will be very closely monitored.
So I just have one question, and you kind of answered it. So if, and I'm just going to use Joe, for example, let's say for some reason he called Equinox here, we thought we can get in the lift, but if he did and they wanted to haul it, he wanted to flash it, you would do a boat of hit of that caliber over the concrete pad instead of taking out and blocking it and then having to remove.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to depend on what they're doing, but if it's going to, you know, I think they use like 20 gallons of water an hour. So if we're talking a relatively small job, you know, between tarps and what's there, they've been saying that they're going to bring a carpet, like a high traffic carpet, which will help trap a lot of that stuff, and then they can roll it up and dispose of it that way. But it's going to have to be talking about what they're going to be doing. If it's a big boat, it only makes sense to do it over there.
Well, what I was looking at is if you would have to take the trap lift off and have to bring it back, would it incur additional costs or whatever?
It would be. We won't be doing any extra moves for the sake of their business. You know, if they decide they want a boat hauled out and need to come over there, part of what the owner will he'll have to figure in is that they're going to be getting charged an extra move.
Okay. Any further about Nestle's blasting? Moves us to El Cazador's purchase sale agreement.
Can we get a motion on
that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Motion to approve Checo Nestle's blasting lease agreement.
I second it.
Okay, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Now we'll do El Cazador's purchase sale agreement.
Okay. So this is for the property sale for the, it's about 4,000 square, I think it's a little less than 4,000 square feet for the El Cazador's. Cindy and Javier have already seen this, looked at it, and have signed it. So looking for you guys to approve it, and then we will be able to get going with plot line adjustments, which is going to have to be done, getting the release of lien from Business Oregon. Everything is, I can't really get anything started until we get this purchase sale agreement drafted, and then we'll keep moving on it, and then for the final papers and stuff like that, I'll bring it back to the board, and we'll approve everything at the end.
So there is a cost to lot line adjustments and all the paperwork at the county.
So we will be paying that, but there is in this property sale agreement they will be billed for whatever the costs are incurred at the end of the sale.
Okay. Question. Motion.
I make a motion to approve the purchase sale agreement with Cindy and Javier Almendo.
I think so.
Almendo.
Second.
Almendo. Have a motion.
And a second. By Larry.
Okay.
Larry?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's okay. Jump in there.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
One of those days.
Okay. This brings us to action item C, Brookings Real Estate. Augustino Estate and Vineyard, letter of intent.
Yes, so this is for the old motorcycle shop, for the wine tasting. to be done there. This went through, we already approved one LOI, the letter of intent, but this negotiation between him and I quickly went to our attorneys negotiating it because I wanted to make sure we were being covered. So this is kind of revision number 9 of that LOI going back and forth. And I think the biggest ones in it is number 10, which is on page 3, the ownership of improvements. So the tenant may construct or repair, replace, or alter any improvement upon the premises provided that such project costs $25,000 or less. So typically any of our tenants, when they do any improvements to the building, outside improvements or anything like that, they have to have initial approval from the court. Through this, they wanted to be able to do any amount, any dollar without coming to the court. I wasn't exactly comfortable with that, neither was our attorney. So between going back and forth, we kind of settled on $25,000 for any repairs that does not have to come to the court. In theory, we are leasing him just the ground. The building is coming to him at no cost because of the improvements. So I didn't want to give him all the leeway to be able to do the improvements. So $25,000 is the number that I kind of settled with. But I wanted to make sure the board knew that this was in there because that's that's different than what any of our other leases allow people to do for improvements.
So this will give him the opportunity to do landscaping, put out pots of flowers, picnic tables, chairs without coming to us. But if he's going to do something on a bigger scale, like add onto the building or something, then he'd have to see us.
If it exceeds $25,000.
Okay.
Will he be paving?
I don't think he's planning on paving. I don't know. I know his first and foremost goal is to get the water line coming across the street, get the outside, the building, all. He's got quite a bit ahead of him, and I think he'll see where things land after that.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain the Brookings Real Estate?
So that was a business that's under what this business will be. He opened this as an LLC shortly after we approved the first LOI. I did have our attorneys look into it to make sure it was an actual business because I never heard of it. It is an actual business, and that's how he is deciding to put this business as a lease for him. That's his assumed business name that he's putting it under. So,
but as far as you know, his intent is still to have a wine shop?
Yes. Yes, I can't really speak for much of why it's Brookings Real Estate. I don't know. I don't know how he ended up on that. But it's the assumed business thing that he's putting this lease under.
Can I intervene with you on that?
Yes, sorry. Thank you, Reggie. Go ahead.
The reason that we did the LLC is because of the alcohol. And the alcohol license, we have to kind of have a protection from any liability from somebody, you know, suing us for something that, you know, really didn't need to be there. We're very careful, of course, with all the rules and stuff, but we just needed an LLC to kind of help protect the Augustino Corporation. This is the reason that we put that LLC there.
Okay.
Thank you, Reggie.
So we are not going to be using that, you know, as a business other than for the building and what activity is happening there in the building itself.
We have an outline of 60 by 70 feet of land. That's just what we given him as a land with 60 by 70 feet.
Yes, sir.
And right now there's not a problem there, but somewhere down the road, if we get more development there or different parking or storage, are we going to outline that space that he currently leases, or are we just going to play that by ear and see if something changes down the road?
I think we're going to play it by ear and see what changes down the road, and as opportunities develop for that, you know, I think we work with Reggie, and, you know, if we're paving or doing something else out there, we try not to exclude it from it. You know, we just try and work out it what's going to be best for everybody. But currently right now, with the amount of projects and the funding, I think it's a little bit out to predict what that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And if I can add to that a little bit, I went to the county, and they're requiring us to dedicate 5 parking spots and a handicap parking spot. And the way that the property set up with our lot lines that we propose will accommodate what the county is requiring from us.
Good. Great.
Okay, any other further on that?
No.
Okay.
I look forward to it coming.
Motion to approve Brookings Real Estate LLC letter of intent for the court manager to bring back a lease agreement for board approval.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion to second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Thank you, sir, for being online.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to moving forward.
Thank you, Reggie.
That brings us to action item D, resolution number 2023-06, amending the public contracting rules.
Okay, so this is just amending our public contracting rules to match the state of Oregon under the intermediate procurement rules. It was for $5,000 to $150,000 for an intermediate procurement, and the state law is now $10,000 to $150,000, so it's just updating our rules and procedures for FEMA and purchasing equipment, and just updating our policy.
Okay. Comments, questions? Okay.
Pretty straightforward.
I got it. I make a motion to approve resolution number 2023-06, amending public contractions rules and prescribing rules and procedures for public contracting.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
And so when you guys are looking back, I meant to tab it, but it just photocopied my tab. So saying it off. But you'll see under number 7 what we were actually changing, where it went, was 5,000 and now it's 10,000. Right. That's going to change. And the ORS, that's it as well.
That's right.
Okay, it brings us to action item E, the bid for marine contract for boatyard dredging.
Okay, so this is, I got quotes a while back for up to 5,000 cubic yards to be removed. This is kind of going hand in hand with what is for the dredging that we need for down by the travel lift area. I've kind of refined the number. We went down to 3,000 cubic yards, because I think that's still going to be more than enough to get out what's there. And it dropped our cost. It went from 150,000, so the cubic yardage went down, so it comes in at 111,000 now. So we would like to get this contract approved so we can get on builder schedule, so we can get that clam shelling done as soon as our in-water work period starts. We have our permit, we have everything to do it. We just need to wait for October 15th to be able to start getting that material out. It's not only gonna be account towards our FEMA total, you know, we're pulling out 38,000 cubic yards for FEMA. This will be the first 3,000 yards of that total. And we're going to really need to be on their schedule for the beginning of October, because we're not going to be able to haul out boats. It's getting pretty bad. So I think we're going to make it till October, but we need to be on somebody's schedule so it can be done so it doesn't impact it.
Okay.
any more than it is.
Travis, this is the company we usually go to, or
Builder Marine,
or
has been here.
Not something that we put out for.
Again, being said it's under $150,000 for intermediate procurements, you have to get three competitive quotes.
Okay.
So Builder, Legacy, who's been here and done our pilings, and West Coast Contractors, who has also been here, all gave us quotes.
Oh,
but
they did.
They were all higher.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Motion to approve contract for Billiter Marine to perform clamshell dredging and remove approximately 3,000 cubic yards.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Well, it would be great to get that done.
Bring us to action item F, workers' compensation insurance safe.
Okay, so SDIS, Special Districts Insurance, used to provide workman's compensation coverage for the port. It has recently partnered with SAFE. Through SDIS, we had a policy that was covered up to a $3 million. SAFE does not do that. SAFE only covers up to $1 million, and you can get $2 million if you want to pay more. After talking with CalOR, about it, they think that $1 million is fine for what were previous claims, things that have happened, what we do. They said it's a pretty standard number. They said $3 million is unusually high for most workman's comp. So our new annual premium will be $19,785. Last year's premium was $20,639. The only major significant change is going from $3 million to $1
million. We don't even save more than $1,000.
Well, we had that. That's also taken into account our number of employees. We have less people under last year's agreement with SDAO. This year, we've got a few extra staff members that we've added. So.
It about balanced out.
So just in terms of insurance, we have insurance to cover the worst case. Let's say we drop a boat.
Yeah, that's our liability insurance.
One of our people is injured as a result of that. This
right.
would cover the workman's comp side of that. Our insurance, other insurance would cover the rest.
Right.
Yeah, we have liability insurance for that. If a worker gets hurt, we have insurance for that. But we got more insurance. But it's not under, the workman's comp, if somebody were to get hurt, say on a piece of equipment or something, that would not go against our liability insurance. It would be covered under our workman's comp insurance.
And you're required to have this, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we have to have workman's comp insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Just clarification, in the packet, the overuse says building located at 16118 Lower Harbor Road became vacant, and then it's talked about that. Is that just
that was a typo.
I just looked at it
and I put a question mark next to it, so that was
just
accidentally thrown in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion to approve workers' compensation insurance policy with SAIF.
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Bring us to action item G, the Lloyd Whaley Memorial Bench.
Okay, so Mr. Whaley passed away on April 29th. He was a port commissioner from 1987 through 2008. It's been a long time person of the port. I'm asking that we put in a memorial bench similar to what Roy's is out on our new boardwalk, just to recognize his service for the port. That's what I want to do.
Funding from us.
Funding will be from us. Roy's bench before, I think we did a GoFundMe page. Me personally, I don't want to do a GoFundMe page. I think the port could more than afford to put in a bench for somebody's service that has been here for that long. That's my opinion, and that's what I put in here.
We also did accept donations at the office towards Roy's bench. Off the top of my head, I think we had three people donate $100 a piece, you know, so I don't know what the GoFundMe brought in, but.
I think it paid for the whole thing, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the GoFundMe did pay for the whole thing. Me personally, I just don't think the port needs to do a GoFundMe page for a commissioner that's been here that long. I think the port can more than afford to put out a bench.
He deserves it.
That's what I think.
Not saying any of these people don't deserve it, but we're setting a precedent, so every time someone leaves, we're going to put a bench up.
If you have passed away, the last one, Roy was here, we didn't formally make it there, but we kind of put this as, you know, for commissioners that have been here, had a significant impact for, say, 10 years, you know, or longer, that we look at doing something like this. It, now that this happened again, maybe, yeah, we should put something in writing just to see how it, how we want to do this or what would constitute as being able to do that. But I believe Mr. Whaley was one of the longest running commissioners this port's ever had. Very huge supporter of the port, you know, honorary as all can be, but overall a great guy that I think deserves a little recognition for that.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I do think, though, that, you know, as time allows, we might want to look at developing a policy on
what constitutes as memorials.
Well, because, you know, it may not just be those two folks. Somebody may come in and says, you know, my father used to love this place and I'd like to put up a bench, or whatever the case may be. Maybe we should just work on a policy that says, you know, we'll consider those sorts of things under these circumstances.
I think that would be a good idea, just to get some framework around it. I agree. I'll come up with some sort of policy to bring back that sets out some criteria of what we can follow.
Well, I agree with your sentiment on Lloyd Whaley. I mean, there's no question that a lot of what we have here today is because of him and his work through the Port Commission to generate a lot of the facilities and things we have. So I think it's certainly worthy to recognize him for that. Okay.
Again, not saying this man doesn't understand, doesn't deserve it. And as my years pass me by, I like to sit a lot. So a bench is great. I'm just looking where places I've been before, it's usually a plaque with names and years of service. But if somebody is outstanding, no problem. Just food for thought.
Well, as I come back, if, you know, I want to get through this one, but I think what Richard said, we're coming back with a policy. Maybe we want to do some more of, like, up here, maybe a plaque with names or, you know, something like that. But I think that's a good idea. We can bring back some options of different ways we can do it and see if we can put some together. We can do that.
I will say at the front office, too, we get three or four people a year that come in and say, my father, my uncle, my mother loved it here, and we'd love to put a bench up. So we should have some sort of standard to follow that, you know, we don't get an overabundance of benches, because the amount of requests we get, how do I do this, and we instruct them to come to the board, you know, bring an idea. We don't really have a set policy to explain to people, and they get overwhelmed by the, well, I have to do all the work, and then I have to go to the board. So if we had something in, you know, a resolution or a write, something in writing that we could hand to people, these are the requirements, and this is what we have to offer, I don't think that's a bad idea either.
Yeah, you may look for another category that says, well, you know, we're reserving benches for significant people of the court, but if you would like to make a donation, then we figure out something we can do with that that would be, you know, I don't have any ideas, but something that if you, you know, if I wanted to leave $1,000 in memory of my mother and here it is, what can you do with it? You could say, well, that we use money to do this, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll come up with some ideas that are out there and we'll discuss it.
Okay. All right. That brings us back to this topic.
You ready?
Yep.
I make a motion to approve the port manager to purchase and place a bench and bar along the concrete boardwalk in honor of Lord Whaley and his contributions to the Port of Brookings Harbor. Contributions, I mean.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Now, we come to the biggie.
Yeah.
This is the action item H, the FEMA schedule and equipment procurement.
Okay, so this is very much open for discussion. We have gotten ourselves to the point where we are ready to start buying equipment for FEMA, for dredging equipment, everything that needs to start happening to make our self-sustaining dredging happen. Attached in here is an equipment list, page 178. And you'll see that the equipment ranges, but we're looking at about $1 million, a little over $1 million worth of different parts and pieces that we're going to need. From the dredge, the generator, the pipe, the floats, cable, a tractor, a boat, ramp, equipment cover, a truck, turbidity screens, spare parts for the generator and the dredge, concrete blocks, riprap, road fabric, fencing, and probably a trailer to move some of this stuff around. There is going to be other little parts and pieces of this, but these are the main items that are going to take a while to get here. We need to get them ordered. Most of these things will fall under intermediate procurements, which are three competitive quotes for each piece. The bigger ones, the dredge, the generator, those are formal bid openings unless otherwise specified by an engineer saying that this is a specific piece of equipment, which that comes with a letter from our engineer to satisfy FEMA for purchasing equipment. My question and main topic of this is our cash flow with FEMA, they're 90 days out from us getting reimbursed. It used to be 30 days, but because of changes in where we are today, they told us to expect up to 90 days. Our cash flow is going to greatly depend on when we can start purchasing these things and when it fits to buy them, wait the 90 days to get our money back, to then continue to go buy something else. So it has to be kind of strategically planned out. I don't know exactly how that's going to happen. We may, when it comes time for the generating dredge, which we'll discuss at another meeting just to kind of prep you guys for it, is that we might be taking, our general fund might be taking a loan from our reserve fund for a cash flow to get this so we don't break our bank. And then as the reimbursements come back in for the generator and that, we will reimburse the reserve fund. The way I see it and running through the numbers, we should have enough money between our reserve fund, what we have in our LGIP account, plus what we have out for reimbursements right now, which is around $200,000. So with that basically being about $500,000 of money, I think we can purchase all this equipment without having to look at a loan for a cash flow or anything like that, because I really don't want to do that. But each one of these, my spending limit is $10,000. There's only a couple things here that are under $10,000. For FEMA equipment purchasing, I'm wondering how we want to do this. The way I kind of have it laid out, that if you guys give me for intermediate procurements, you know, not basically excluding the dredge and the generator, I would like the board to approve me going ahead and doing the procurements and purchasing these, and then me come back to the board during our meetings to go over what I did so you guys can see it. the offside of that, if we don't do it that way, we're going to have a lot more special meetings, a lot more, to get this done. So it's kind of more of a discussion about this, how, what the board feels comfortable with. Most of these pieces of equipment are very straightforward. It is what it is. But again, that's not my call to make, to see how much money I'm going to spend. So does the board want to see all these procurements before we push go, or, you know, the pipe, the pipe floats, the cable, even the skip loaders, you know, a one-ton truck. I mean, these are kind of things that...
What do you need that for?
The one-ton truck to be able to pull the generator. The generator and the dredge, if we're moving it around. If it goes off-site, the pipe, the floats, the extra parts and pieces, our three-quarter ton truck.
It wouldn't use the telehauler, remember?
Not really.
No.
I mean, you could, but I mean, it's just, I'm trying not to shortchange us on equipment since we have the money to do it. If we're going to buy equipment to dredge our port, let's buy what we need. Let's try not to cut into, you know, if we're using that truck, the truck we have currently right now to drag around a generator and it's with it, that leaves our port staff short a truck. So I'm trying not to put us into a position where we're going to be...
You wouldn't be on a trailer.
Huh?
The generator would be placed on a trailer.
It is on a trailer, but I need to move it.
I know, so you have to have a one-ton truck to move it. Is it big?
It's that big.
Oh, okay.
It's a three-axle trailer.
I'm trying to visualize
it. It's a tow-behind big box. Three-phase.
Like when they dredged the port the last time, those great big generators that they add is like that?
Well, it'll be even bigger than what they have for, like, the power boxes for driving piles.
Okay.
It's big.
All right.
Well, my comment on this specifically, we can, there's no issue transferring in and out of the reserve fund. We don't have to do a resolution or anything like that.
We will be doing a resolution, but... To pull money out of the reserve fund, that takes board action, and I'll have to talk with our attorney about exactly what should be included with that, just so it's lined out very specific why we're taking that reserve money out and what it's going to be used for, and the guidelines that we're going to be using to pay it back. I think that's pretty important to do when we're using that money.
Well, I think that's the approach that I think would make most sense, rather than going out and borrowing money to do that. Or short-cheating ourselves on our cash, on-hand cash.
Mm-hmm.
As far as this list goes, my personal preference is to give you, through this motion, give you authority to purchase this stuff. And I don't think I need you to come back here and tell me I'm thinking about buying a dry flow dredge. Is that okay? You've done the research. You've looked at it. What am I going to tell you? No. I think you ought to get this kind of a dredge if I'm not... We're not doing that. So I'm very comfortable with saying, okay, with this list in hand, go get this stuff. And when you get the dredge, you know, come show us what it is. Or, you know, when the generator shows up, or you're saying, okay, I found the deal on a truck, I'm going to get this. But that's, for me, that's all the detail I want to know.
Okay.
Because it's already enumerated here, but I, you know, not everybody may agree with that. But I don't personally want to sit through meeting after meeting after meeting saying I need to buy extra parts for $10,343. Well, I'm fine. And, you know, I don't consider this funny money or free money because it's coming out of FEMA, but this is an opportunity to leverage that money to get improvements for the port. So buying something like a truck that can be directly associated with this stuff makes sense to me.
And just so the total award was $2.4 million. You know, we have burned through, no, that was a part of the other one. So we have about 2.3, I think, left in total for this. You know, if we spend $1 million, maybe just a little bit more on equipment, that's still going to leave us, I'm putting in my head, about $800,000. On the low end, left to do the job. You know, we'll have everything, which I more than confident is enough money to get our employees paid, everybody paid to do the dredging, do the work, and
nice.
And be able to account for any unforeseens that might pop up.
There will be.
We have, you know, we have done dredging. I have done dredging. I'm confident in this list. This is going to get us in the water, get us moving, and get us moving material. Part of the other $800,000 is we are still working on the removal of this sediment, you know, taking it off from site, what we're going to do. We're still talking with Freeman Rock Tidewater about its use, possible uses for them for concrete and other things. I did recently just talk to somebody with Tide, at the Crescent City Fairgrounds that they might use it for the arenas. They used to use it from Crescent City all the time, the spoils to spread out over arenas because it's got that high, still fluffy, nice, good, clean dirt. So cool. But at worst case scenario, at 8,000 cubic yards, if we were to get rid of it every single time at $10 a yard, you know, if that's $320,000. Worst case scenario, if you have to pay full boat to get rid of it, but I don't think that's going to happen. That's worst case scenario, which still leaves us with, in my opinion, plenty of money to still deal with unforeseen. I think we have plenty of money for this project.
Okay, Travis, I agree with what Richard said 100%, but I got a couple questions for
yep.
you. Everything we buy, we keep, correct?
Yep.
Okay. One-ton truck, what are we going to do with it? What's it for? The purpose of the dredging, what are you using that for?
So the generator is a tow-behind generator. It's going to pull that. I want to get a flatbed trailer of some sort so we can haul the cables, any floats, the flanges, anything else I want. I just want our dredging operation to be its own self-sustained sustained thing that's not pulling any equipment, trucks, anything from what we currently have to operate
for. Okay. And this is all going to be brand new?
Brand new. The only thing that I'm thinking that we might be looking at having to go to like a military surplus or something is a boat. I don't know what is out there for a small tender boat with some sort of A-frame on the front. So when we're in the water and you have to join those pipes together, there's under, so you use the A-frame to bring the pipes up just out of the water so you can make that connection. It's ultimately what I'm looking for with the boat. The boat's still... I don't know how you can spend a lot of money on a boat. And
the only reason I'm asking, because of what happened a couple, 3 weeks ago, when I got a phone call, you got a phone call, and Sharon got a phone call from someone that was just being harassed, I guess you could say. I don't want someone calling me up and saying, you guys bought a brand new truck, and Travis just trashed it. And, you know, that's what I don't, you know what I'm coming up. That's the only reason I'm asking you. Because
I
don't care about the phone calls. I just want to make sure that we all know that we're going to buy a brand new truck. And, oh, gosh, dang, we dumped this thing on it and we smashed it. And someone called. Did you see when Travis did that truck today? You know, I'm just using you and I as an example.
Right.
Okay.
And
that's the only reason I brought that up.
My intention with this is that this truck will be used probably less than any other vehicle.
Oh, I believe you.
It needs to. All this equipment, it needs to stay nice. It needs to stay taken care of. FEMA does require us to keep anything that we buy for 7 years. After 7 years, you can sell, trade, do whatever. So by doing this, yeah, we're sewing ourselves into keeping our stuff very nice. It's a long, same thing with the, I went through a lot of those questions when the state bought their trench because I ran that first. What are you going to need this for? What are you going to do? It has to stay nice, and it's a lot of work. And that's why we have refined so much with this dredge is because our staff, our current employees, can actually manage something like this. But everything that I'm looking at buying is all going to be brand new, with the exception of the boat, because I'm just not sure what's going to fit our budget and what's going to fit our need the most. I don't need to go buy a $200,000 boat. I just need something with a winch on the front to get a pipe out of the water.
And that's the only reason I brought it up. the only reason I brought it up, just in case someone was like, you're buying brand new equipment, you're doing this, that was the only reason.
And, you know, when, but I mean, my saying to that too is, yes, we're buying brand new stuff. We have the money to do it. We've been granted the money, and we're not going to start this job with a bunch of used stuff with no warranties that puts us in a bad position. Brand new things come with warranties. Most of those warranties will last for the cycle of our job. And that's just as, it's better to buy.
No, I have faith in you 100%, Travis.
Well, speaking from a former life, trying to do things on a shoestring at many times, the reality is, so let's say we don't buy that truck. We're going to use your truck, one of these trucks.
Okay.
And the day we're going to work, that truck breaks down. So then your entire operation ceases. Now, that's not to say this truck won't ever break down, but nonetheless, it's dedicated to this. So if we want to move this generator from point A to point B and run it, and then it's going to have to move again because we're moving the dredging operation, it's already hooked up, it's mobile, it can go, as opposed to saying, okay, well, wait a minute, we've got to go get the other truck. So whatever you guys are doing, stop, bring that over here, we're going to move this. I mean, I've lived through this, and it is a terribly inefficient way to do business. And it can be done, there's no question. It can be done, but it's just not a smooth moving operation where you can send two guys out and say, oh, you go dredge all day, as opposed to, well, wait a minute, now you've got to come in here and help us. So I think this makes sense. And that's kind of your point as to, well, why do we need to do this? Well, if we're going to dredge, let's dredge. Let's be dredgers. So any feelings about coming to us for each one of these items or the whole package?
I have one last one that I'm going to bring up right now. The generator, I believe, is severely underpriced on this due to the future of emissions that's coming probably to Oregon, that you can still operate a Tier 3 motor in Oregon, but at Tier 4s, such as California, that's where you have to run in California, or Tier 4s, I think it's going to be in our interest to buy the Tier 4 one now than to wait for them to get outlawed or be upgraded to a Tier 4 emissions, which we asked what the difference is, and they said the upgrade is about $150,000 for the generator we're looking at to go from Tier 3 to Tier 4. So I was like, well, maybe we'll just look at a Tier 4. So that number could go up by about $100,000. But I have it. The generator and the drag floor are going to be a little more in depth. I've already talked to our attorney about that. Being anything that goes over an intermediate procurement, he thought, and I think it's a good idea to run the entire process of how we're purchasing that through our attorney to make sure that nothing's getting missed as far as specifying equipment that's specified by an engineer, or if there is more than one, like the generator, which could be more than one manufacturer that builds them, that the bid openings and the formal procedures for that are followed to a T, so we don't get in any hot water. I'm more than confident we'll be fine, but we're just going to throw a little layer, extra layer on those purchases that are over $150,000.
I think you'd be very smart to upgrade that, since this job is going to go on for several years.
Plan for the future while we can. Then we don't have a $100,000 bill sitting in our lap 3 years from now. That would be a pretty big unforeseen that I don't want to have to go through.
Well, I don't know how that works. So if a Tier 4 requirement comes in to the state of Oregon, that means that the state has to completely upgrade their fleet to meet that. Or can you use the existing equipment until it's replaced?
Grandfather. We talked about the grandfather and how that would work, but being that we operate in a sections of the year that would move on, that I don't think are. I don't know that answer 100%. Is what I'm leaning on is making sure that we're not going to get into that. If at this point, if it's between a tier three and a tier four, and it's $100,000 more, and we're going to be good for the foreseeable future, and we have the money now to buy it, let's not have to have this conversation later about, well, we maybe should have done that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of what we're doing is trying to be one of the most environmentally friendly dredging operations there is in Oregon ever. So emissions, we have a fully electric dredge. There's no hydraulics. There's no any of that stuff on the water. So again, we'll be bringing you more information back on the generator all the way around. These things aren't just sitting on the shelf either. They're about an 8-week out piece of equipment that has to be specified.
I don't know if you get the weekly SDAO updates, Richard. Several months ago, in one of those weekly updates, there was talk of the emissions, light truck emissions and such, that came out DEQ required by the state of Oregon. So Travis is probably on the right track in regards to going to Tier 4, because their state of Oregon is talking of phasing out those over one ton, changing their emissions and fleet for vehicles to be changed out. Not mandated yet, but they're advising to be moving forward with that. So I think he's on the right track for doing that.
You know, I agree. I just try and stimulate discussion so that we're clear that we, you know, what we're doing. And I, being ahead of the game on emissions and environmentally conscious, I'm good with that idea. I mean, we should, where we can, lead by example. You know, I hate to tell the world, but it ain't going to be too many more years. Most of the boats down here are going to be not okay. And I look at my friend in California who's running a twin-engine diesel boat, charter boat. This year, in order to stay in compliance and be licensed, he had to replace both those motors and transmissions to the tune of almost $250,000, which for a charter boat operator is a pretty large pill to swallow, but that's the world that's coming. So I see that now we have high-powered electric outboard motors coming. We have hydrogen-powered outboard motors under development, so things are moving. So you're right. You're right. We should do that.
And on that note, I just got another proposal for electric boat charging stations on the water because of electric boats coming for quicker charges than what 30-amp pedestals can provide.
Well, I think I'd wait with that one until you see a few of them.
It's, yeah. They're talking 100% funded, but we'll get to that later. A part of this, also in your packet, I did a bigger blow up of what our stockpile area is going to look like. I have, again, moved it closer to the fuel dock, getting it farther away from the hotel, cramming everything down farther. I think it's better for our discharge area. I think it's going to make us better friends with the hotel, not having it that close. And I pushed our road that we're going to bore through the whole thing down closer to this, and it's more in a straight line now. Inside the equipment list that is on here, you'll see on the bottom where it says concrete blocks, riprap, road fabric, and fencing. That is what we're going to use to build this sediment basin. After review, our port staff's going to build this as well. The concrete blocks are cheap. They're easy. They're going to hold everything back. I did go with the bigger ones, the ones like we use at the RV park. Those are about 3/4 of a yard. The ones that I'm looking at are a yard and a quarter. So they're substantially bigger just because I don't want to run the risk of any blowouts or anything happening. Our discharge area, where the culvert's at, where it's seen in red, that section of culvert is completely unraveled and desperate need to be replaced. So instead of just digging it up and replacing it, I want to open that up that 20 feet back farther in the basin, use riprap to fix from the end of that barge basin over, if you see it in the barge basin, it's starting to swell, the bank's falling in. This riprap will fix that and hold that bank up and give us a discharge area. I don't know if any of you guys seen what we did before by creating a weir for the discharge. Did you ever see it, what we did over there by our pond that we made? But kind of copying that same system that we did before, it worked really well. We never had any issues with turbid water or any DEQ issues, so I'm leaning towards not changing what's worked for us before. The stockpile will go between this and the fuel dock. We should build the stockpile, depends on how high you go, but we should build the stockpile a whole year's worth of sediment in here if the worst case scenario happens and we can't get rid of it. So plenty big enough, enough room, and where it's brown there, we'll use dredge spoils and what we're pumping into it to create berms, which will help us cut some cost.
Two comments. One, your comment about keeping the hotel or motel, whatever you want to call it, down there happy. What about the homeowners that are above? You're more concerned about them than the people that live above your porch?
I'm not more concerned about anybody more than anyone, no, over anybody, but being that we were planning on putting this thing right next to their back doors, trying to give them a little more cushion so it's not right out their back door. Unfortunately, yeah, the people on the hill, they get to see everything we're doing.
Well, I'm not worried about the smell. You're talking about a cushion. I'm thinking more of the smell that this will generate, because that scent comes out. Quite honestly, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to run the motel out down there in the basin, but or hurt their business, but people on the hill, if you're going to, those are the people I'd be concerned about more than I would that motel down there.
And moving it away, I think, is solving a lot of problems, you know. I mean, still moving 150 feet away from the houses on the hill, all the same. At the end of the day, that's a centralized part of the port that has.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, they bought above it. They want the ambiance, but I'm just thinking that.
I'm trying to look, when I said that, I'm looking at the immediate users more on the side of Lower Harbor Road.
Well, we actually, though, remember, did a smellogram test.
Bucket.
So that issue came up. You know, how was it going to smell like? So, as I remember, Jack collected some samples from various places and poured them out to see what the odor actually was, detectable odor to your nose. And as I recall, it wasn't that bad. Plus, it's going to dissipate. You know, I find it interesting that, so having spent that time in Washington where there's quite a bit of tide change and there's a lot of exposed area, it stinks. But everybody says, oh, I'm smelling the ocean. That's what, you know, from some people, that's what they think.
They have it in Eureka.
Yeah, so, but I know that the issue with the motel was something that was discussed at length when we were talking about this, and how are we gonna worry about that? And the answer was, well, probably, yeah, we should. So I think this is the best effort we can to pull it tight. And
the other thing,
well, remember too, when we've done this exact same thing before. We did the emergency dredging in the ice house. We built a much bigger pond than what we're planning on building here. We pumped 15,000 cubic yards into that. There was zero smell that comes from it. Nothing, I can't say zero smells. We had no complaints over an obnoxious smell when we built Ted's pond out there.
So, well, the other thing that comes to mind, and that one thing, but if I'm not mistaken, isn't this area you're proposing to build this dredge pond where you're proposing also to build the wastewater treatment plant?
No.
No, it was, yes, at one time, since we've changed it to go more behind the plant, behind the cold storage, yes, this spot was planned out to be there, but the major reason why I'm moving it down is because we moved that building, so keeping things tight, pushed down And utilizing that area is kind of why I decided to move it down to.
Mm-hmm. My main concern was how we were going to contain the spoils after Ted's trip. If you recall, what happened to Ted's trip.
Well, that's why I want to, well, there's a lot of unfortunate things. You know, that area was part of the Chippo, the Indian ground that's out there. We weren't permitted to use one stake. We couldn't put stake in the ground. We couldn't do anything. So we had literally 2x4s and plywood freestanding walls packed with dirt on both sides. And the only reason it blew out is because we got too greedy with water. It was about 5.5 feet deep, and we probably only needed to be 3 feet deep. So
these blocks will be able to hold that water pressure? And
yes.
Okay.
Well, let's bring this back to what we're doing here. We've kind of gone away. So we're down to the question as to what do we want to do with the FEMA schedule, and do we give Travis authority to buy with reports back to us as things are procured, or do we want to go ahead and buy them?
I'm just asking you to reiterate that you're comfortable doing this, taking on this responsibility, reviewing, making all these purchases. I mean, you're going to be the one signing everything. You're
yes,
okay
sir.
With that?
Yep.
I trust you.
And like I say, I will say it again, anything that's over $150,000, we will be approving before those are done. Well, I'll be bringing those back. We'll be talking about them. And all these other items, once we get it together, as soon as our meeting comes out, whether I'm said yes yesterday or said yes 2 weeks ago to doing it, you guys will see that progression every time of what's been purchased, where we're at, and what it is.
Well, if it's over 150, you're going to have to come to us for bids anyway, aren't you?
Right. 150 is my... I have to stop at that point. We need more approval to do that.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Motion.
We're out to action.
Motion. Okay. A motion to approve the port manager to procure the items listed and begin purchasing items that exceed port manager's limit of $10,000.
Will you just put in there too and not to exceed 150?
And not to exceed $150,000.
I second it.
I just want to take a minute to memorialize this. Now, remember what we just did here. You're talking $1 million.
We just spent $1 million. Actually, more.
I'd just like to take a moment.
We've been working on this for 4 years, since 2019, for a very, very long time, and this is actually, you know, it's a good thing you stop and think about it, because we've been trying to get to this point for a long time.
Yes, we have.
And it's finally here.
Well, I'd like to take a moment to pause, because when somebody says, well, what are you guys doing down there?
Good.
Here you go. Okay.
We're making things better.
We have a motion and a second. Danielle.
Larry.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to go right off the bat.
So that brings us to the delinquent account write-off request. Looks like it's in the amount of $4,560.02.
Go ahead, April.
So this is another delinquent account. Last month they brought a few to you, and this is the one I didn't have time to get on that agenda. Al Mills, formerly of Mountain View Custom Cycles, as you know, on New Year's Day, decided to pack up all his stuff and send me an email the next day saying I'm no longer at the building and I'm terminating my lease. The board approved the lease to end January 31st. He has not made a payment since September of 2022. He was on a verbal agreement with former port manager Gary and former bookkeeper Kim to make weekly payments, mm-hmm. which he bounced a check, made a few payments, bounced another check, and then disappeared in January. So calls are going unanswered. Mal is being returned. He is in town. He's been seen, but I don't have any response from him. So I am going to ask that we write off and send to collections the $4,560.02 that he owes for his lease.
And this will help clean up this year's budget.
It will, yeah.
Yeah, every year when it comes down to this time, we got to kind of clean things up so it's not carrying over as bad debt from the next year.
Okay. Questions, discussion?
No.
Motion?
I make a motion to approve the delinquent account write-off for $4,560.02 from the accounts receivable and submit the amount to the port collection agency.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Karen?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, that brings us to information items, the RV park project.
The only information item we have, I just wanted to put in there that it has been finalized, completed, everything's paid. We are officially done with the RV park project. So, yeah, that's, we didn't even get a plaque or nothing. I just got an email. But
we get a lot of compliments on it. A lot of compliments. And
I have heard nothing but positive things from it.
And how is the not having the cable, is that?
We have not had one complaint, one person even that I know of that even came to me that says, where's the cable TV?
Good.
So.
Good, that's great.
And we are $700 a month in our pocket not having it.
So we're going the right way.
Was it that much, Travis?
$714 a month for cable TV there.
Yeah.
My children, both of them, every time they come visit, remind me what a troglodyte I am. I says, you have Wi-Fi, right? And I says, yep. They said, well, why do you have cable? You don't need cable. You can stream all this stuff.
I know. That's
the way of the world.
It really is. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Okay, so with that, we will now adjourn from our regular session and go into executive session.
And can we have a
goodbye
break? All right, let's take a break and I'll read all this when you come back. Sorry.
She's got a fix.
Have you looked at GovDeals.com?
Yep.
And